Hey there, I'm Tal Zlotnitsky from Ignite IT Consulting. You know me from the Braving Business podcast, but when I'm not behind the mic, I'm helping tech startups and established companies ignite their full potential. I also help entrepreneurs and businesses in distress reset for success. With over three decades of entrepreneurial success, I bring hands-on experience to drive growth, navigate turnarounds, raise capital, and lead through innovation. Whether it's executive coaching or strategic transformation, I'm here to turn your business challenges into success stories. Visit igniteitconsulting.com and let's spark that change together. That's igniteitconsulting.com. Your journey to business brilliance starts now.
This episode of the Braving Business Podcast is sponsored by, well, me. I'm PJ Benoit, and I've been in the domestic and international logistics space for over 30 years. If you need any assistance with transportation or logistics, my team and I will jump at the chance to help. Whether it be parcel shipments, e-commerce, pallets and freight, full truckload, international air and ocean, imports, exports, warehousing and distribution, or really anything under the logistics umbrella, we got you covered. For more details, please go to shipwithpj.com. That's shipwithpj.com. Reach out to me there. Mention you found me on this podcast for a special surprise. And one last quick thing. If you enjoyed this episode, please stay on after the show to learn more about the Braving Business Podcast and other great episodes for you to discover. And now, let's get the show started.
A quick note of warning for this episode. The following episode contains discussions about suicide, which may be difficult for some listeners. If you or someone you know are struggling, please seek professional help or contact a helpline in your country. Listener discretion is advised.
Well, hello there.
Hey, stranger. How goes it?
I'm good, man. How you doing? Good looking.
I am doing wonderful. I'm doing wonderful. Relaxed after a nice weekend.
Nice. You? Nice. I'm dandy, as always. You know my word, dandy.
Yeah, it's getting warmer in Tampa. That's always nice. It'll be 80 degrees today, which is really awesome.
Exactly the opposite of what's going on here. How was your weekend? What did you end up doing?
My weekend was great. I went to something called the tree burning, which is, my girlfriend has a circle of friends that has this annual tradition where they collect Christmas trees after the holiday. Of course, they don't take them out of people's, family rooms. That would be weird. And then they burned them, over several hours, and there's like a potluck, and, it's lots of fun. Yeah. So that was fun.
So my first Smokey, time doing it. Smokey's not there. Smokey the Bear, probably not there.
Smokey the Bear was not there. Not that I noticed anyway, or at least by the time we left, which was kind of early. Yeah.
this seems to cater to the inner arsonist in us all. Ray,
I've noticed, I told my girlfriend that her friends tend to circulate around fire a lot. Like they get together around the fire pit and they do all sorts of fire. I don't know what that's about. I'm trying to figure that out.
It could be a Wicca thing. I don't know. Maybe. Who knows? Ray, what do you do to get rid of your, first of all, do you do live trees or do you do fake trees?
We have a humongous fake tree we've had for a few years. I think it's like, it's huge. It's like 15 feet or something.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's huge. That pre-lit?
And it's pre-lit, yeah, which is perfect. Beautiful.
Yeah. No, that's the way to go. Yeah.
I got to say, after watching the trees burn, sorry to speak over you there, PJ. I highly recommend the fake trees because these things catch fire so fast and they burn so hot. I'm going to do my public, public announcement. What is it called?
Safety announcement.
Safety announcement. Yeah. Stay away from those trees. Although that might get in the way of next year's tree burning. So I apologize to Aaron and her friends, but, I might just save your life. So there you go.
Also, you got to keep them watered.
I like the confidence in your influence level.
Well, what can I say? I mean, we are a top one half of 1% in popularity podcast nowadays. So, our reach is far and wide.
In our minds. Yes, it is. So
in our minds, indeed.
Well, I am chomping at the bit to let our wonderful listeners know who we have on today. The wonderful Ray Higdon. Do you mind if I pontificate about this gentleman?
Please pontificate. You're a great pontificator.
My mom didn't raise no fool. So Ray Higdon is the best-selling author of Time, Money, and freedom, and is the host of one of the most popular business popular business podcasts in history, Home Business Profits, with over 10 million downloads. A highly sought after and high energy keynote speaker, Ray has shared the stage with other world-renowned thought leaders, including Tony Robbins, Rachel Hollis, Les Brown, Brendan Burchard, Robert Kiyosaki, Bob Proctor, Gary Vaynerchuk, Grant Cardone, Magic Johnson, and many more. But before all that, Ray has a truly fascinating story. He started off as the number one income earner in a thriving network marketing company before experiencing significant headwinds, going into foreclosure, divorce, and being millions of dollars in debt. Terrifying. He rose from the ashes like a phoenix, founded the Higdon Group, of which he remains to today CEO. The Higdon Group hosts live and virtual events where thousands of leaders gain knowledge and sharpen their skills. It has been recognized as an Inc. 5000 fastest growing company. In addition, because clearly this man has just a ton of time on his hands, Ray has also co-founded the Higdon Maxwell Mentorship Program, where Ray and best-selling author and leadership expert John Maxwell co-mentor an elite mastermind group of high achievers. And just a side note, my feelings are very hurt that Tal and I have not been invited to be among these high achievers, Ray. You know, maybe we're done. Should I just yell for check? Whatever. We'll keep going. Over the past few years,
We'll give him the benefit of the doubt. He didn't know us. Now he does.
Yes, that's
you know,
true.
If we're not invited the next month, maybe this episode
coming.
Never airs.
It's coming. Thank God. I'm recording this, right? Yes. All right. We have it on tape. Over the last couple of years, Ray has also added a faith-based mindset to the equation, which we're fascinated to talk about because, you know, this isn't something that we normally cover during our podcast, but it's exciting. So, Ray, it is an honor to have you on, and welcome to the Braving Business Podcast.
I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Ray, thanks for joining us. Generally speaking, before interviews, we've had a lot of pretty amazing guests, and I do my online research, and some guests have a lot about them, and you're one of them. Including a lot of video content, which was really interesting, and I got to see some stuff that's several years old. I would say probably before your faith journey, which we'll talk about later. And yep. Some that's more recent, and it was quite interesting to see some of how that evolved. But we're going to start really early, right? Your journey from foreclosure and debt to building an Inc. 5000 company. I know how hard that is. One of my startups, iControl Data, was an Inc. 5000 fastest growing, and it's quite an arduous thing to be selected. So that's an incredible journey. But before that, you really went through, you know, some shit, as they say. So can you tell us what went wrong, and maybe tell us what steps you took on the path to recovering and rebuilding professionally and personally?
Yeah, for sure. And there was in the bio, we may have messed up on our end, but it was a little, there's a timeline thing. Okay. So I was in real estate 2004 to 2008-ish, 9-ish, and just rocking and rolling, moving as an investor. I was never a realtor, but moving 10 to 12 properties a month. Some of them I think my best one I made like 75 grand on profit, but the average was 10-15,000 per property. Moved hundreds of properties, had 37 rental units. And just quite frankly, thought I was a genius. I mean, I thought, man, I'm the bee's knees, man. And I'd let you know. I was arrogant. If I met you, and it wasn't obvious that I could make money off you, I probably wouldn't talk to you very much. To be honest, that's who I was. And so I needed humbling, and I got it. And so when the market changed, I realized that I wasn't as brilliant as I thought. I didn't know what to do when the market changed. And so I held on till everything was gone. So I went through divorce. I went through deep depression. I lost everything. I was $1 million in debt, in foreclosure. And And honestly, if I didn't have children, I probably would have killed myself, to be honest. Oh, and and so I was in this deep drink heavily depression, maxing out the credit cards that I had left, wishing for things to be different. And it was tough. It was tough. It was tough times. I avoided mirrors because I hated myself. And yeah, man, it was a dark time for sure.
So what was the first step out of that? What did it take for you to lift yourself up? Because one interesting thing that we've heard a lot on our episodes are stories that sound very much like that. People hit a rock bottom. And what separates those that end up achieving a lot in their careers and their lives from those that maybe don't is that those who do refuse to be defeated. So I'm curious, where and how did you start lifting yourself back up?
Yeah. I mean, it was an unlikely, place for me. I never expected what to happen. So I had someone on Facebook that I didn't know invite me to a 3-day seminar. And I was still just ridiculously arrogant, right? It really didn't make any sense because I literally have nothing, right? I mean, I just sold furniture, my high school ring, I'm like so broke. And she invites me to this 3-day seminar. Some people may have heard of it. It's called Landmark. And I had heard of it, didn't really know what it was, but I thought, you know what? Maybe this will help me make money. And so I go there and day one, and it's like a, at least back then, it was kind of like an in your face transformational kind of, self-discovery deal, right? And so day one, I realized that I had repair relationship with my dad on a to-do list with no priority. And I grew up in a very abusive home. And so I had a lot of resentment toward my dad. And I hadn't talked to him in 13 years. In fact, he had never met his grandsons, right? They were at the time probably maybe 9 and 10. And and so I attend this seminar. I'm broke, depressed, divorced, $1 million in debt, and have this, I need to reach out to my dad, because if he dies before I at least try, that wouldn't feel great. And so on day two, I reach out to him. And a couple months later, probably, I go up to Indiana and see him and talk to him, for the first time in a long time. And we go from nothing to something. Now, it never became perfect. We don't play ball together. We don't, we don't go hang out, smoke cigars or anything. But it became something from nothing. And I came home and I was different. And all of a sudden, that forgiveness, which had nothing to do with business. He didn't give me a loan or anything like that. But that opened my eyes, like I'd let go of some baggage. And when I came home, that's when I got started in an opportunity that I went on to make millions of dollars with. And so a lot of times when I'm coaching leaders, their business problem is actually a personal problem. And so my switch that took me from foreclosure, dead broke, all that stuff, to millions of dollars was actually forgiveness. And that was the switch for me.
First of all, thank you for being so open about that. Right. And, you're going to find a lot of commonality with myself, with Tal, with a lot of our listeners who have gone through the same things. It is amazing how we don't give enough focus on emotional baggage and what we carry through the day. Right. And reconciling with your dad, right? But a lot of us have daddy issues to a certain extent. You don't know me, but all I ever wanted to do when I was growing up was be a dad, because my father was not there for me. And I just wanted to be a dad to my kids. And so this is right at the core of who I am. And so I applaud you for having that, to be able to provide that forgiveness for your dad, whether or not he wanted it, it was a gift to yourself because it's so important when I think a lot of times I saw something actually today or yesterday where they were talking about having people on the hook. And when you have someone on, when someone does something to you, it's almost like you have a fish on the hook. And unless you let them go, that part of you is still just struggling there. And to be able to let that go, to be able to have that meeting with your dad and at least have some peace in the back of your mind and in that corner of your soul where your dad resides, I think that is such a gift to you. So I applaud you for that. That's amazing.
Yeah, man. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
You know, as I think about that, and both PJ and I have shared on this podcast that we have had, you know, challenging relationships with parents. In my case, my mother, in his case, his father. And it is, generally speaking, common that forgiveness tends to be the turning point for being able to achieve. I don't know why that is. Do you have a hypothesis about why that was so important in your journey?
Yeah. And actually it's actually twofold. So one, and I studied neuroscience under Dr. Joe Dispenza and spent a lot of time with him, was going to be one of his certified trainers at one point. And so everything that you think about, whether it's your taxes, whether it's your what's in your storage unit, which is a story that's, you know, personal to me. You know, no matter anything that you think about is taking energy from you. That is a strand of energy that if you either solve it or clip it and just let it go, you actually gain that energy back. And so like when I forgave and I solved that, what if I don't connect with him before he dies question that had been in my mind, I gained energy back and there were just some things that let go. The second I would, this is interesting, but the second and almost as good a gift that I got from reconnecting with my dad was I was maybe a year later, I had been asked to speak in Myrtle Beach. I went up there and spoke. And before I went on stage, I got this nudge. It was the weirdest thing I'd ever had. And now I get it literally all the time. But at the time, I got this nudge, talk about your dad. Now, I'd never talked about my dad. I had never been vulnerable because I was always Superman. Look at what I've done. Look at my Rolex, right? Like I was just that guy. And so I got this nudge, talk about your dad. And I'm like, that's weird. And what's even weirder is that I obeyed. Like, why would I obey? I mean, I didn't grow up in the church. I didn't, you know, like, who's telling me this? Why am I obeying? I can't answer that. But I tell that story that I just shared with you. When I finish, the guy that had brought me up to Myrtle Beach comes walking down the hall, the aisle, just tears pouring out of him, man. I mean, he's like shaking, he's weeping. And he said, I can't believe you just told that story. And I'm like, yeah, man, that must have, you know, really touched you. He said, I haven't talked to my dad in 17 years. Tomorrow, I fly out for his funeral. And I'm like, whoa. Like, and back then I used to beat myself up a lot. So my first reaction was, dang, I should have shared this a week ago. Like, what's wrong with me? Like, I beat myself up. But I took that as, I need to be more vulnerable. I need to share this story. And so I've shared that story for 13 years now. And I have letter after letter, message after message, email after email, people that reconnected with their dad, their mom, their sister, brothers, you know, son, daughter. I have three messages where people heard that story, reconnected with their dad, all dad stories for some reason, and their dads died. So they literally, if they hear that message, they reconnect with their dad. If they don't, he dies, and they don't. And so I got such a blessing from helping others with that kind of stuff. And so I see him as like equal. One, got me out of foreclosure and got me out of all that stuff. But two, just the richness of completely changing someone's life by just telling them about what forgiveness looks like.
So again, thank you for sharing that as well. I mean, that's it's just amazing. Sorry, my mind's all in a flutter here. So when you see this impact, does this provide you like some kind of vision that got you towards, you know, founding Higdon, like founding the enterprise that you're doing now? How does that manifest?
Yeah. So, I mean, in the beginning, I was, you know, after I forgave him, and I'm still in all these things, right? I'm still, you know, divorced, foreclosure, all the deep in debt, right? I'm still in all those things, but I just no longer focus on them. And I created this psychological trigger that anytime I thought about how bad my life was or how it used to be great, I had to prospect someone. And so I'd read a book called Go for No. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go for 20 no's a day, every day. And so there were really three things that I did as far as routine. Okay. Went for 20 no's a day. My head could not hit the pillow until 20 people told me no. And, you know, that means you may have to reach out to, you know, 50 or 200 people. Right. And number two, I did a video a day. So from July 15, 2009, to mid-July 2021, I did a video a day without missing a day. And so just a pretty God where it made me a consistent dude. And number three, self-development every day. And so, you know, those things, I was just focused on what logically will get me out of debt, because that was my first focus. My first focus of business for several years was not this, let me go help others, let me be a shining light. I needed to make money. And so that was my focus at first. It later became where I realized my fulfillment was no longer. And you know, I remember 2013 was my first $1 million year. 2014 was my first $1 million month. 2015, my first $1 million day. And I remember after all of these things, every single time I would hit that goal and I'd be like, that wasn't it. Like I thought like something would burst inside of me and I would just beam like a whatever, right? I thought that it would change. Like I would be like, yes, finally I'm worthy. But the $1 million year didn't, the $1 million month didn't, the $1 million day didn't. And so, you know, Tony Robbins says success without fulfillment is the ultimate failure, right? Zig Ziglar says money can't buy happiness, but everyone wants to learn that on their own, right? Everyone wants to try it out first, right? And that just was my case of these, you know, these successes I went after. I realized that that's just not the case. And I realized that me seeing people transform was more fulfilling. I you know, like I got more out of that. But there was still, I still had a lot of character flaws. I had trust issues from just being so betrayed as a kid. And I still had a lot of things that I was working on, even though from the outside perspective, got a great family now. You know, I you know, my second marriage and final is amazing. Been married 12 years now. From the outside, everything looks amazing. But inside, I'm like, something's missing. Like, I don't know. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, PJ's already thanked you twice for being transparent. So I'm going to go ahead and echo that, because what you just said, the last part, is a major factor in why I chose to start this podcast. Mm. And I had been a guest on PJ's other podcast a couple of years back. Afterwards, he reached out to me and thought that I should do a podcast. And for a couple of years, I resisted. And it took him reaching out to me just to happen to be in a vulnerable time where I was feeling shitty. It didn't matter what I had accomplished in my life. Mm-hmm. A lot of other people, my accomplishments seem, wow, staggering. But inside, I did not feel accomplished. I felt a lot of angst, and still do from time to time. Sure, it's not like it's a straight path, right? It's not like you find a way, and then from that point forward, you never struggle anymore. But I think it's mighty courageous of you to talk about that so openly. I want to touch on a couple things that came up. One is I'd like your thoughts on, because you mentioned that you helped some people reconnect, and I don't know, and you know, not prying into what was in your relationship with your father that caused you so much pain. Some people, and I would say I'm one of them, have enough angst with what went wrong in their lives, in a sense that the person that they've made the difficult choice to remove from their lives is toxic. So is there a line, I mean, is there a way forward that does not include, effectively finding, I don't know what to call it. I don't know whether it's inner strength. I don't know what it is, but moving to a place where you are able to forgive. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because I think that forgiveness only works if the other side wants to be forgiven, believes that they have something to apologize for. If you're with someone who does not see it that way, that can make it very challenging. So I'd love your thoughts on that. It's not necessarily a business question, but I would
sure
very much love your perspective on that.
Hmm. Okay. There's a lot there. There's kind of two parts, right? The first part of why, did I have resentment toward him? And second, how do I feel about forgiveness, regardless of, the circumstances? So, my dad wasn't the abuser. I mean, he went at me a couple times, but, it was his wife. It was my stepmom. And so every morning for years, I was woken up by being grabbed by the ankles, thrown against a closet and stomped. And, I remember going to kindergarten with bloody noses. One time I was really sick, and she just had a knack of finding what foods I absolutely hated. And I hated cream of wheat. And so I'm already not feeling good. Eat your cream of wheat. I go to eat it. I vomit into the cream of wheat. And when I refuse to eat the vomit, she stabs me. And so there was a part of me as a little kid that thought, man, my dad doesn't know this stuff because he definitely wouldn't allow it. But at some point I came to realize that he just turned the other way. There's literally no human possible way he didn't know. Right. And I remember there was one time where I, tattled on her because I thought, he's on my side. He's my dad. Right. And he just, beat the hell out of me. So that was, lesson learned. So that was some of the angst. Yeah. Right. At the age of 12, I had my option of stay with them, which anywhere, send me to, Syria, I mean, anywhere, right? But stay with them or go live with my mom in Florida. And so, of course, I got out of there, right? And so when I asked this question, and I was in that three-day seminar, if he died without me trying to connect to him, would I feel bad? And for me, that answer was, yeah, I would feel bad if I didn't at least reach out. Now, I can't explain why I felt that way. I definitely could have not, right? I could have not felt that way. And I think some people, do that. So for forgiveness, for me, it's a tricky topic in the secular world. It is not tricky in the Christian world. Okay. It's tricky in the secular. But the gospel tells us that if you only love those who love you, what makes you so different? If you only forgive those who are sorry, what makes you so different? If you are to sound strange in the secular world, you're to love your enemies. You are to wish them well. You are to, because, forgiveness, and I do not believe that the other person has to be sorry. I do not believe that you have to reconnect and be buddies, but I do believe that you have to become aware of the energy you have around that thing and let that go. And you know it's gone when you actually can genuinely wish them well. And what people don't understand that are on the other side, right? That's holding on to that resentment and they deserve it. And you know what? You're right. You're 100% right. They do deserve it. They meaning they deserve your resentment. They deserve your hatred. They deserve your anger. They deserve all of that. But when you're on the other side of that, it is such a gift to you. It is such a blessing to you because you stop seeing everyone else through this filter that you've created by all the things you're holding on to. So, you know, for me, so I had quite a different experience than PJ, because like PJ was like, man, I couldn't wait to be a dad, because me, I didn't know what is a dad. Like, I mean, what do I do? Because my only experience with authority was negative. And so like, you know, my older boys who are now, you know, 25 and 23, could I have done a worse job with them? I guess if I really tried. I wasn't present. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what's the appropriate level of discipline, right? Because mine was so extreme and unfounded. So like, I don't even know how to do this thing. And so, you know, I do have two younger kids that, fortunately for them, I've learned a lot of things. I've done a lot of self-development. I've, you know, a lot of prayer. You know, they're 4 and 8 years old, and I'm a very different parent to them. And so what people on the one side of the justified, I'm not saying you're not, right? On the justified position of resentment, anger, they don't get my forgiveness, right? When you're on that side, you don't understand what's on the other side, because what's on the other side is freedom. It's not honoring what they did and saying, hey, it's okay, bro, right? It's, you know, it's just like, I'm going to let this go and I wish you well. I hope you do well. And I do. I hope my stepmom does well. I've prayed for both of them in a loving way, not in a, oh, they really need to, you know, yeah. And so it really is a gift for the person that's able to forgive regardless of if the person is sorry or not.
Yeah. Yeah. That was
some heavy stuff there.
Yeah. I need a drink. No, I'm just kidding. It's first of all, I don't know you, but if I ever get the chance to meet you, I'm going to give you a big old hug. Proud of you.
Oh man. I'll take it.
I am a hugger, by the way. So proud of you for that. The fact that you were able to find that forgiveness within yourself, I think, is paramount. And anyone who has gone through anything, who has an adversary or someone out there who has hurt you, that self gift that Ray's talking about is so important. And I'm proud of you for that. I'm a little sad that you did it, only because I would like to go and beat someone's ass. Right. So I would like to go and help bring
I'm
some
right there with you.
Bring some.
It feels good for 4 minutes, right? and then later.
You know. I don't know. I think for me, it would last longer than 4 minutes, but I mean, I'm not a small guy, so I can help out, but I get it. Right. And it's so the amount of strength that it takes in order to provide true forgiveness, to be able to not only, you know, give thoughts, but blessings, and actually pray for your stepmom. That's quite amazing. That's an amazing circle of growth, or not circle, but a cycle of growth that you've had.
I'll give you one more piece to that. Okay. Here's one more piece.
Sure.
This is kind of next level, right? I'm grateful for what I've been through. And the reason I'm grateful for what I've been through is it put me in doors I otherwise couldn't get in. Okay. And I fully believe that if you've been through some stuff, you've been through some challenges, God has a big calling on you. So let me give you an example. So I guess it's been a little bit now, maybe year before, but I was at this, troubled youth lunch. Let's just call it that, right? Where I'm at this troubled youth lunch and I was just visiting, just kind of, you know, check it out. And I said, hey, can I talk to him? And you know, and they, no one knows me, right? I just asked the lady, and someone's like, who is he? And someone said he's a speaker or something. And she, the lady says, yeah, but if you're going to talk to him, don't talk to that table. I'm like, that's where I'm going. Right. So I go over to this table and, you know, these teenagers, right. They're in and out of jail. Some of their parents just abandon them. Right. And so I'm walking up and they're like, who's this white boy? Right. That's what they're thinking. I know. And so I walk up and I share two stories and all of a sudden they're like, okay. And now they're listening. And so when I speak to kids in foster care, when I speak to troubled teenagers, when I speak to kids who have been through abuse, I find the strength of relatability of me sharing what I've been through. Because, you know, for example, if you've ever talked to someone who lost a child, you can't console them unless you lost a child. They won't listen to you because you don't know what it's like. That's a fact. And so like when, you know, I believe one of our calls is to help the person you used to be. So you've been through some stuff, you had dad wounds, you had abuse, you had trauma, you've been broke. Like, I believe you are, that was there for you to be equipped to go and help other people going through or have gone through that same thing. So yeah, I look at it, I wish I had a wonderful childhood, right? I never wish that. I'm grateful for it because it created in me, you know, like this reticular activator of who can I help, right? Oh, I can resonate with them. I can relate with them. They'll connect with me. And I just wouldn't trade that for anything.
I find that fascinating and I really relate to it. Last night I spoke at the University of South Florida to several, I would say probably a couple of hundred students. And the topic was supposed to be, you know, what kind of business to start? It was about what types of startups are going to do well. But I don't do those kinds of speaking engagements. Yeah. I mean, I get invited to do that, but I pivoted to what type of interpersonal skills and personal skills I believe these young people need to cultivate in order to have a shot at achieving success, which has got to be defined much more broadly than they build a successful business. And I so align with what you just said about life and the challenges that are thrown at us can be viewed as happening for us and not to us. And that's not easy. And I've spoken about this in prior podcasts, and I speak about that when I speak publicly. It's very understandable that people that are facing significant setbacks or challenges in their lives feel aggrieved at the moment that they are in the midst of the worst of it, right? When you're in the maelstrom, it's really, really hard to say, oh, this is happening for me. This is great. Right?
Yes. Yes.
However, what separates those that are capable of achieving great things in life is they don't get stuck there.
Yeah.
They emerge out of that and come to a place where they're able to leverage whatever it was that smack them in the face and make the most out of it. It's the proverbial making lemonade out of lemon.
Yeah.
And obviously your life story is about that. And I respect that. And I want to pivot, and that's hard to do, but you know, I want to get to talking about some of your perspective, some of your enormous perspective and opportunities to share wisdom with our audience on business. And I want to start with podcasting. So, you know, you have a very successful podcast. You know, it's a source of inspiration for PJ and I. We're just getting started. We're in our second season. And we have a goal. Our goal, and you know, people that listen to the podcast probably have long ago recognized that what we're here to do is not to glorify people. Not that that's, you know, we're not trying to knock people down, but our objective is to demystify entrepreneurship, help people realize that successful people are not some super species that, you know, somehow are above the challenges of everyday life. They're mortals. I'm a mortal. You're mortal. And so is every successful person that walks the earth. It's that we share certain characteristics and traits, right? And my experience, and the reason this podcast, I think, resonates is that we are talking a lot about failure. And that sounds kind of counterintuitive, right? Because we are a podcast about helping people be successful. And yet we spent so much time talking about failure. And a big reason why that is because we've discovered that a common denominator for people that end up being successful is that they are resilient, they persevere, and they learn. And failure is not an end game. It's a midway point, right? So on your podcast, Home Business Profits, and as PJ mentioned, over 10 million downloads. For those of you that don't know what that means, that is a staggering number.
That's a lot.
What is your goal? That's a lot. What is your goal? What are the core themes you're trying to communicate to your audience?
Okay. So I am probably the worst podcaster to model. Just I'm just going to say that. Okay.
Now you tell us.
I think our podcast probably has the most downloads and the worst execution that exists in the podcast world, right? Now, we've been going a long time. You know, I mean, I started that, I think it was toward the beginning of 2015, I believe. Okay. So it's been going a while.
Yeah.
And I don't do these cool interviews. I don't do them. I do a lot of live videos and my team takes them, puts the audio on the podcast. Terrible model. It's not great. This is a better model. What you're doing is better. I'm telling you. What I do, you know, include in the content that does go on there is good. I mean, I do believe in my content, but as far as the model and the example, it's not great. A year ago in November, I came to Christ. And this is important for your question, you know. And so I didn't grow up in the church, didn't know one verse, none of that. And so since that transformation, which is, it fulfilled in me something I'd been seeking for years, but I didn't know what it was, I've changed my business. You know, we've ran it for 10 years, we've ran an annual event. Last year, we changed the name of it to Faith Over Fear. And so my tagline now is I teach faith-based mindset leadership principles that work. Okay. So I mix scripture into all of the different trainings, Proverbs and, you know, just, you know, different business biblical principles into sales, marketing, mindset, leadership. And, the way that God wired me is I am either absolutely obsessed about something or completely repulsed by something. Like I do not play golf. Like to me, to calculate that many hours, I don't want to do it. Right. And that's just me. But I am obsessed with learning. I'm obsessed with, you know, I'm in the Bible every day, you know, et cetera. And so the content that goes on there, mixes in vulnerability, faith, and business principles. That's really the three. And those are three that I believe all people need. All entrepreneurs, I believe, need all three of those. And that's what I put up there. So people like the content, but the format, the execution, the plan, it's not that great. And so I'm a great example of you don't have to be like everyone else, or you don't have to have it perfect for you to do good.
First of all, thank you. It's very humbling for Tal and I to hear that you think we have a better setup or process than you do. I will tell you that the check's in the mail. I'm also going to ask you not to cash it, please, because it's going to bounce.
Hold on to it. Frame it. I'll put it in the background.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's very cool, the intentionality that you have in regards to all this. But to have that focus as kind of like a personal, you know, I don't want to use the word, I guess maybe crusade or like, you know, using that new influx of Christ in your life to try to, you know, help out others, help the masses and interweave it is, I think, novel and very, very cool. You've also throughout, you know, your history, you have shared the stage, so to speak, with some of the most prominent thought leaders in the world. And, you know, I would have some major, identity crisis being up there, but like what have, you know, you've also shown the capacity to kind of take a step back, look at things in a more holistic way, which I have seen a lot of very successful entrepreneurs, Tal and I both have seen a lot of very successful entrepreneurs be able to do. When you're mixing in this crowd of Tony Robbins and Hollis and all these people that are, you know, world renowned. What have you learned from them? What do you take from that? And how has that shaped your approach to business and mentorship in life?
I mean, Tony, for example, you know, it's interesting. Like, I had this like weird, like hater envy of him, back in, this was probably 2013. I had never actually been to one of his events, and, you know, I'm like, oh, everyone's crazy about Tony, you know, like, whatever. And then I saw him, he spoke at an event that I was speaking at, and I just watched him for like 2 hours, and I'm like, okay, I got it. I get it now. like he's really good. He's really, really good. And he, you know, fired me up. And so for me, part of this is like timeline, because in the past, those speakers definitely would pump me up and get me excited, get me wanting to, you know what, I need to up-level my goals. I need to go harder. I need to go, you know, heavier. Now I look at my, before I came to Christ, I look at that time as a very, everything's dependent on me. And I'm leaning everything on my shoulder. If it's going to be, it's up to me, right? And now life is just so different. You know, I spend about an hour in prayer, you know, spread out throughout the day. And I just handle things so much differently. And I have so many different experiences of just miracles happening that I didn't have anything to do with, but showed up on my doorstep. And so it's just a different, you know, what it's done is it's all of that experience has helped me identify what's missing in the marketplace. And what's missing in the marketplace, right, is, I believe, and this is why I'm doing it, what I'm doing, right, to bring faith into it, right, to still be excellent. You know, if you read the Bible, Daniel was 10 times better than the other guys that were, you know, working alongside him with the king. Joseph was a Hebrew slave, but he was so good. His pagan master said, man, favor's really with this guy. And so we are called to excellence, you know, and the Bible will tell you, Ecclesiastes 9:16, the poor man's wisdom is despised. So we are not supposed to be poor, right? We're not supposed to be, you know, slackards, right? We're not supposed to be lazy. We're supposed to be excellent. But it's not just about our efforts. And so all of those other world-renowned, better-known speakers have a great message of lean more on your own efforts, work harder, keep going. And I believe that's a harder model than it has to be.
I think, Ray, what you're sharing is, and I'm reflecting on what I shared last night, you know, with the students, and I didn't talk about faith. I think that, you know, generally speaking, I've shied away from that. I'm sure. I have a lot of feelings about that, and I'm personally a believer, but I tend to focus more on recommending that people find self-awareness and the definition of how and how they go about doing, and kindness as
yeah,
in my view, being two significant cornerstones in being able to live a meaningful life and achieve, and then the path people choose to get there, I leave to them. But I absolutely understand where you're coming from on that, and I think that anyone in the audience who is a seeker, whether you find it in faith or you find it in meditation or you find it in reading poetry, I think it's a beautiful thing that you go inwards, because generally speaking, that is the path. The path out actually comes from within. And that may not necessarily be the most obvious thing, but that's what I've learned in my life, is that I had to go in order to get through. I want to talk about faith over fear. You talked about that. It's first tell our audience who may be interested in that, how they could find out more. And I know we only have it for a couple more minutes. I'd also like to hear you talk about consistency, and that's another thing you mentioned before. In fact, you gave us the quote in the pre-interview: the reason people aren't consistent is always based on an observation they made as a kid. And I think it's a really interesting statement. So between that and what you're helping people learn in faith over fear, what can people, you know, what can people take away from that? Since, you know, we can't change the past. What can we take away from that in terms of moving our lives in the direction we want our lives to move?
Yeah. So we all made observations as kids, all of us, right? And it created programs within us. And there's a lot of different words people use for this. Strongholds would be a biblical term, but strongholds or programs, paradigms, they created in us that are really the pilots of our life. Okay. And so the best thing to share what I mean here is to give an example. So I was coaching this lady. So I used to go on, what's it called? I haven't been on it in a while. The audio thing where it's just audio. Nah, I forget what it's called. But anyway, so you go on there and people get in this room and you can let people speak. And, you know, I used to just do coaching, just random coaching, right? I don't know who they are. Come on here. And so this lady gets on and she shares with me that, you know, over the last, whatever, 10 years, she's, you know, she would start a career, crush it. And then she would always find, you know what, there's something wrong here. There's something wrong with these guys. And she would leave. She'd go to another thing, crush it, do really well, break records. And then she would leave. And it was just over and over and over. Now, a
Clubhouse.
Pattern.
Was it Clubhouse?
Clubhouse. Yes. Right. Yes. Thank you. Woo, thank you.
As you said that, I was like, God, what is that?
Yeah. What is that? Right. And so a pattern, right, wherever you go, there you are. So a pattern is a lesson is repeated until it's learned. And so, and I know that your patterns are from absolutely no question. They're from observations as a kid, from coaching, not hundreds of thousands, but thousands of people. And so I asked her, so her history is go somewhere, do really good, find something wrong, leave. Go somewhere and do really good, find something wrong, leave. And I said, okay, tell me about your, like, what was your relationship with your parents? And she said, oh, they were perfect. They're still together today. They're amazing. And so I also know that our memory will literally block things to protect us. Okay. And so, and I also got it that she was a little rebellious personality. So I said, I just had to speed things up. And so I said, it's okay if you don't remember, which to a rebellious personality, it actually, you know, kind of challenges them. And she goes, and we're on audio. So I don't know, was she just in an accident? Like she just, you know, like what's going on, right? And so she comes back and she says, I just remembered as a little girl catching my mom cheating on my dad. And I'm like, got it. That's your problem. And she's like, what? Well, as a little girl, everything was going well. Everything was perfect. And all of a sudden, you were surprised. And as a little girl, you vowed that'll never happen again. I'm going to be in control next time. So that's what you do. As soon as things start getting well in a relationship or business or career, you get out of there because you ain't going to be surprised again like that little girl was. And so that transformed her. And so now she is no longer like that. And so people who struggle with consistency, it is always from an observation they made as a kid that drew the wrong conclusion to success. So if their parent, a really common one, if their parents were really successful and ignored them, they will sabotage success because they never want their kids to feel ignored like they were. If their parents made a bunch of money and lost it, they will sabotage making a lot of money because they don't want to go through the pain of losing it. And clearly that's the only option. Okay. And, you know, like for me even, right? Mine was a little different. My resistance to God, right? To even, you know, wanting to know, that's why I stayed out of the church my whole life, right? My resistance to God was because of my observation of my father. How we think about our biological father is how we think about our heavenly father.
Sure.
So I thought God was mean, uncaring. I'd never be good enough. He'd never be proud of me. So that's what I projected onto God. And that's what kept him away from me. When I realized that that's not the case, when she realized that it doesn't have to be the case, when others realize that, hey, you can make money and maybe not make the same mistakes, then they have that breakthrough and they can actually create transformation. The Faith Over Fear event, that's our annual event. And, you know, last year we had about 1,200 people in Orlando. This year we believe we'll have 2,500 to 3,000 in Orlando. October 31st and November 3rd. And you can learn more at faithoverfearlive.com.
Faithoverfearlive.com. Ray, I'm going to let Tal close, but I just wanted to let you know, first of all, fantastic having you on. You're an amazing, I'm so happy to have met you. This has been enthralling for me. And we definitely have to have you back. There's so many things we didn't even get to in regards to business and your fantastic outlook and all the programs that you're doing. And I really want to delve into how you're going to be on Dancing with the Stars in the near future. So we'll definitely have you back on whenever your time allows. We would love to have a follow up.
Be more than happy to.
All right. Well, Tal, finish us off, buddy.
Sounds good. Ray, I'm grateful for your time today, and I absolutely echo. We need to have you back. It's funny. I was looking through our notes, and we went through like a third of our questions. So we have a lot to still talk to you about, and we'd love to have you back. We hope we can. Yeah. Our guest today was Ray Higdon. He's the best-selling author of Time, Money, and Freedom. He's one of the world's most popular business podcasters. He is an incredibly high energy keynote speaker. If you've not seen him, go to YouTube and watch a couple of his videos. They're amazing. It's been a privilege. I'm very grateful that we had you on. And I'm sure that regardless of the fact that maybe from a business content standpoint, we didn't cover as much as we may have wanted to, I believe we made an impact today. And I look forward to our audience telling us about that. So please reach out to us at www.bravingbusiness.com. There's a comment section. Many of you send us comments after episodes, and we'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you'd like to see us do more of. This was our first foray into faith-based business, and it's a step I'm glad we took, and I'm particularly glad we had the privilege of taking it with someone like Ray. So Ray, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And that's a wrap, folks. Like what you heard? Want to support the show? Please follow our page on LinkedIn and Facebook, visit us on YouTube, and please like and rate us on all of your favorite podcast streaming services. You can also see exclusive content, subscribe for free to our weekly blog, support our sponsors, and soon buy our merchandise at www.bravingbusiness.com. Thanks for being a part of our production, and we'll see you next time on the Braving Business Podcast.